This is Dr. Michael Wilkes with a second opinion. Marina, not her real name, brought in her 14-year-old son, who was exceptionally thin and had large bruises on his upper arm. He had not taken his diabetes medicine in many days. He said he ran out, but I know he had many refills left in the pharmacy. One of the most challenging tasks as a doctor or social worker or teacher is to report a suspected case of child or elder abuse to the authorities. Signs of abuse can be obvious physical injuries, such as fractures or bruises, but signs can also be less obvious, such as a lack of food or shelter, emotional neglect or abuse, educational neglect or medical neglect, such as not taking care of a child with medical needs, such as diabetes or asthma or infections. But in each case, there is always the chance that the health provider or teacher could be wrong in labeling the problem as abuse. The problem for the mandated reporter is that we don't really know what happened. For Marina, I suspected her mother had no car or had to take care of her other three smaller children. Is my suspicion of abuse simply an overreach on my part? If I was to report child abuse to Child and Protective Services, they would investigate and it could lead to Marina's son being taken away. And what if I'm wrong and there is no abuse? My job, after all, as a doctor is not to investigate or talk to multiple parties or build an ironclad case. Instead, as a doctor, my legal duty is to report suspected abuse. I can face penalties for not reporting suspected abuse, and as a result, many healthcare providers report any unusual signs of harm, just in case they represent abuse. Well, as reported by the Hastings Center in the U.S., more than 3.5 million children a year are involved in child abuse and neglect cases. Indeed, the protective services system is made up of good, honest, hardworking people. But bias creeps into the work in reporting, investigating, and confirming these cases. It turns out that black children are reported about twice as often as white children, and their cases are more likely to be investigated, confirmed, and brought to court. Black children are more likely to be removed from their families and to be removed for longer periods of time, even if the abuse directed at a black child is similar to that directed at a white child. It's not just that our reporting is biased or overly aggressive. When it comes to child abuse, we don't adhere to the innocent until proven guilty. Instead, we assume guilty until proven innocent. This results in lots of harm, but most importantly, can lead to loss of custody, which can cause long-term emotional trauma to the child. The system clearly needs improvement. Perhaps we need to stop mandatory reporting. The problem is we don't know whether that would cause us to miss the actual cases of abuse. The bottom line is that reporting is essential to protect children or the elderly. But for now, for me, the question still lingers. Should I report Marina's son to Protective Services? This is Dr. Michael Wilkes with a second opinion.